Welcome to Waterford Soundwaves, a series of self-guided tours that will take you to some of the areas of interest in Waterford Township. You'll have an opportunity to walk through the history of Waterford and to visit some of the beautiful natural features that make Waterford such a special place. You can load these tours on your MP3 player and take them with you to the sites. You'll be given instructions when to start and stop the recordings to keep you synchronized with the areas you'll be viewing. As you follow along these tours, please remember to respect any private property you will be viewing or passing by, and please stay on the sidewalks or public pathways. This series was made possible thanks to the resources of the Waterford Historical Society, the technical assistance of Waterford's Media Network, and the support of the Waterford Area Chamber of Commerce. So, put on your walking shoes and let the adventure begin. This tour will take you through the Hess Hathaway Farm at 825 South Williams Lake Road. The Lone Cedar Farm dates back to 1861 and has historical significance as one of the oldest farms in Waterford Township. And it's also significant because of its association with the Oakland County pioneers Nathaniel B. Hathaway and Harvey Olmsted. The Hess Hathaway Park is a living history farm that was dedicated in 1989 as part of the Waterford Township Park System, and also in 1989 was listed in the State Register of Historic Sites. A marker honoring this dedication was erected on August 1, 1990. At one time, the site included a barn and milking shed, which still stands, two chicken houses, a bullpen, a dairy barn, a milk house, and two silos, along with the farmhouse. Let's start our tour at the farmhouse. You can schedule a tour of the interior of the farmhouse by contacting Waterford Parks and Recreation Department. After you enter the park, go to the end of the parking lot, then walk past the barns to the farmhouse that fronts on Williams Lake Road. Nathaniel B. Hathaway migrated from New York in 1830 with his son, Jonathan Owen Hathaway. Jonathan purchased from the government 80 acres of undeveloped land in 1861, and the original purchase grew into a prosperous enterprise that included 300 acres. Jonathan married Mary C. Dewey, and they and their son Linus lived in this house, which was built in 1862. The original house consisted of a living room or parlor, a bedroom, and the upstairs. The barn was built in 1887 by Linus. In 1866, Linus married Adelia, the daughter of Harley and Rachel Olmsted, who had migrated from Pittstown, New York in 1803, and who were the first settlers in White Lake Township. James Olmsted, Adelia's brother, was born in 1833, and he was the first child born to settlers in White Lake Township. Adelia joined the Hathaway household with Linus and his parents. Linus, along with his father, continued to cultivate crops in the family farm. Myrtle was born to Adelia and Linus in 1885, and she was the third generation living in the house. Across the street lived Myrtle's cousin, Lloyd Olmsted. The house is a two-story salt box with a one-story shed-roofed addition attached to the east and north faces of the building. The principal facade features a single entrance, centrally placed with rectangular 4x4 windows, asymmetrically arranged on either side. The entrance is covered by a single-story hip-roofed porch, decorated with ornate wooden posts and brackets. The building has been reclad with aluminum siding. Many of the original windows remain intact, as does the original construction of the attachment to the east face. Centrally placed upon the roof is a decorative cupola, square in plan, with two slat vents and a gable on each face. The Hathaways were considered a middle-class family because they had wood floors. The poorer-class families had dirt floors. The planks used on the floor are believed to have been milled at Hopkins Mill on Oxbow Lake in Union Lake. When you enter the house, you'll see a sketch on the wall by the wood box, which is a picture of this mill. The man on the far right was Mr. Hathaway's grandfather. The planks on the floor are white pine and put together using the tongue and groove method. They are random width and an inch and a quarter thick. Trees were sawed and milled just as the tree grew, starting with narrow plank, then wider planks as you neared the middle of the tree, and narrow again as you neared the outside. The largest plank in the house is in Myrtle's bedroom, and it's 21 inches wide. The kitchen and pantry were added in 1885, and Myrtle was born that year in the bedroom on the north side of the living room. Sometime between 1880 and 1895, Linus Hathaway named the farm Lone Cedar Farm. As the story is told, he and Myrtle were walking in the woods on the farm when they came upon a cedar sapling. Myrtle was able to pull it up with the roots intact, and she planted it in the corner of the yard. She tended to it with her toy shovel, and it thrived. The original tree, planted over a century ago, has since died, but it's been replaced by one that was found in the same woods where the original tree was found. The present tree is located just outside the kitchen, next to the driveway. When Myrtle was 17, she married William Hess, who came to the area from Zurich, Canada in 1902. He was employed at a carriage shop in Detroit with the Fisher brothers. He invested in the Fisher Body Company when it was first formed and became the first plant manager of the Fisher Body Company. In addition, Mr. Hess played the slide trombone in the Pontiac City Band. The farm was sold in 1920. And between 1920 and 1930, the last eastern portion of the house was added by the new owners. The smokehouse behind the house is an original structure that was built around 1927. In 1930, William Hess retired from Fisher Body and bought back the farm, which was on the market again. William and Myrtle built the more modern kitchen at that time. William had the one-piece stainless steel sink and counter made especially for Myrtle. It cost $1,000 at that time. In $2,009, that is the equivalent of $12,700. So it was quite a nice gift. To put all these dates in perspective, note that Michigan did not become a state until 1937. In 1955, William and Myrtle built the brick house behind and to the south of their original house. In 1962, William died, leaving only his wife. They had no children of their own. And by 1964, the farm was no longer a working farm. Myrtle sold all the animals and spent her time traveling around the United States. Myrtle executed a trust agreement on January 12, 1976. That bequeathed the farm and surrounding land, 165 acres at that time, to Waterford Township, with the stipulation that it be used as a park for area residents. She also requested that the farm be called the Hess Hathaway Park, and that the barn and house be preserved in their original condition and be used in conjunction with the park. Myrtle died in 1985, 20 days short of her 100th birthday. And the farm was transferred into the care of Waterford Township. Once the township owned the farm, the Victorian-style home was restored to reflect the lifestyle of a farm family in the late 19th century. The walls are 29 inches thick and made from fieldstone gathered on the property. Some of the windows are original, but the doorknobs, curtains, and a few other accessories are authentic reproductions of the Victorian era. The stove, located in the parlor, provided heat and was used for cooking. It's a replica of what might have been here when William and Myrtle lived in the house. The wallpaper throughout the house was peeled down to the fifth layer, which is believed to date from 1880 to 1890. It was then duplicated as closely as possible and rehung in the house. Original to the house is the wall pocket, the two straight-back chairs, the hanging lamp, and the lap desk, which is signed by Myrtle. The baby picture is of Myrtle at 7 months old, and at that time it was common to use feathers to decorate framed photos, as you see with this picture. The dry sink is copied from one in Greenfield Village. On the kitchen shelves are tools found in kitchens of the era. They include pot scrubbers, a flax comb, and a jar enmeshed with wire that was used to keep oil for the lamps. The wire protected it against breakage. There are only two pieces of Myrtle's china left. They were made by Copeland of Great Britain, Rayburn, and the pattern is called Spode. The kitchen clock is dated 1873 and was purchased for the house. The doll on the corner shelf was Myrtle's. There is no electricity or central heat in the old part of the house. It was heated with wood, and oil lamps were used to light the rooms. Myrtle was born in the bedroom on the north side of the living room in 1885, and the wallpaper in this room is identical to what was on the walls at that time. Everything in this room was donated and represents what would have been found in a little girl's room during the 1880s and 1890s. The books are from 1875 through 1895, as are the games. The slate pencils are typical of what was used during that period. Going upstairs, you will note that the stairs have very short treads because people were smaller and so were their feet. There's a small anteroom or sitting room at the top of the stairs. The original carpet was found under many layers of other floor coverings. It was hand-loomed and then stitched together. The spinning wheel in the bedroom was found in the attic of the house in pieces and was restored. There's a steamer trunk that's typical of the luggage used by travelers going abroad, and the piping along the floor is what heated the room. Everything else in this room was purchased recently, but is representative of the period. The bed would have been purchased through a catalog in the 1880s, and the mattress would have been made of straw or corn husks and taken out every spring to be changed. On the south side of the farmhouse in the courtyard, you will find the children's herb garden. It's filled with many plants that are fragrant and tasty. This garden is planted to enhance the farm camp experience. This small garden is filled with many herbs and flowers that are used every day in cooking, as well as many scented geraniums and sunflowers. Let's leave the farmhouse now and check out the barns. The farm's cash crops were wheat, cattle, and dairy products. Plus, the farm raised their own feed for cattle. Crops were rotated each year. The first year, grain was planted, then hay for the second, and the third year, the field went to pasture. Then the cycle started over again. At its largest, the farm was 480 acres. Plus, they farmed the adjacent property as well. The farm employed 7 workers, including 5 Potawatomi Indians, who came from Walpole Island in Canada. They lived in a house on Hospital Road at the easternmost boundary of the property. Today, you can see the 2 stone pillars on Hospital Road that mark the boundary of the property. The Potawatomi tribe hails from the Great Lakes area. They are relatives and allies of the Ojibwa and Ottawa tribes. These 3 tribes belong to a traditional alliance known as the Council of 3 Fires. And the name the Potawatomi refers to their religious or political role as fire keepers in that alliance. Their name for themselves is Nishnabek, which means simply the people. There are around 28,000 Potawatomi Indians in the area today. The Hesses raise Jersey and Hereford cows. Jerseys are tan in color and weigh too little to raise for beef, but they produce milk with the highest butterfat content, 6%, compared to 3.5% for milk from Holsteins. They started with 5 Jersey cows and 1 bull and ended up with 20 cows and 1 bull on the farm. Jerseys were Myrtle's favorite cow. They retailed the Jersey milk from the farm. The raw milk was bottled with a label designed by Myrtle, and their customers came from as far away as Detroit to buy the milk. Cows raised for dairy were fed a special formula that included protein, minerals, bran, and molasses. The Herefords are red and brown with a white face and were Mr. Hess's favorite. They were raised for beef. They had 30 Herefords and the biggest Hereford was a one-ton bull. They were taken by truck to the packing house in Detroit when they reached 1,100 pounds. Cows raised for beef were fed more corn than those that were raised for milk. Sheep were an early interest of Mrs. Hess. She raised and showed prize-winning Hampshire sheep. Myrtle was also an accomplished horsewoman. Today, our farm has a varied animal population. Its furry population includes donkeys, goats, and rabbits, and our feathered friends include chickens, roosters, and peacocks. It was even a home to Annie, a retired Detroit police horse, for a short time. See what other animals and birds you can find in the barnyard. As we leave the barn area, you'll see straight ahead the all-kids playground. Imagine a place where all children can play, including those with disabilities. Better yet, experience such a place here at Hess Hathaway. This wonderful facility is a project of the National Council of Jewish Women in partnership with other community-oriented organizations. The Council's mission is to improve the quality of life for women, children, and families. A design seminar was held in Waterford in May of 2001, and children 6 to 12 years old were invited to participate in the process. The groundbreaking was celebrated on October 14, 2001. This fully integrated, universally accessible playground is the 2004 winner of the prestigious Da Vinci Award, which encourages innovations that help people overcome physical limitations brought on by disabilities. Our playground accommodates all children and allows them to play together. Step inside the fencing and look at the wheelchair-friendly surface and ramp systems. You can watch kids navigate the transfer platforms, climbing stations, tunnels, and slides. There's also an impressive sand play area. This playground offers almost unlimited possibilities for socialization, play, and physical activities. Don't you feel the urge to scramble to the top and take the slide down? Moving to the left, you can see the pavilion on the hilltop. It's a great place for a picnic and is available to rent for your outdoor event. Angling down the hill, we come to the gazebo, surrounded by a patio and situated in a bowl of grass. Free summer concerts are held here monthly every summer, where you will find families sitting on the grassy hill and listening to the strains of family-friendly music. Look north now near the gazebo. Here you will find a peace pole. This pole is one of more than 200,000 poles in over 180 countries. When you plant a peace pole in your community, you are linking with people all over the world who have planted their poles in the same spirit of peace. Every peace pole proclaims the prayer, "May peace prevail on earth." They are found in simple places such as our gazebo garden and extraordinary places like the pyramids of Giza in Egypt and at the magnetic North Pole in Canada. There is a peace pole on the Allenby Bridge between Israel and Jordan and at Robben Island in South Africa, where Nelson Mandela was imprisoned. Peace poles have been dedicated by U.S. presidents, Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, and Pope John Paul II, to name a few. Our peace pole was donated to the park by a member of the De La Ferriere Center in 2005 as part of the center's mission to promote balanced living. Take a moment here to ponder the message of peace for our world that this simple monument symbolizes. A peace pole is an internationally recognized symbol of the hopes and dreams of the human family, standing vigil in silent prayer for peace on earth. Now, let's explore deeper in the park. We'll check out the hiking and cross-country trails that stitch through the 95 acres that make up the rear wooded area of the park. As we enter the trailhead just north of the utility building, note the red barn to the right. This building actually contains a water treatment plant for township residents. The care and thought that went into its design, keeping it appropriate for this farm location, indicates the high regard our township officials have for this jewel in our park system. This building was named the 2009 American Public Works Association Project of the Year for the Detroit branch, and was also issued the American Council of Engineering Companies Merit Award, which recognizes quality and cost-effective solutions. The Hess Hathaway Park includes approximately 113 acres of fields and meadows, 6 acres of wetlands, 30 acres of dense, mature trees, and 1 acre of pond. In the wooded area, you will find ash, maple, sycamore, oak, black cherry, box elder, willow, beech, cedar, and white pines. Sumac and red bud are also in evidence throughout the park. And with this varied offering of trees, you will find in their boughs many types of birds: woodpeckers, killdeer, hoot owls and great horned owls, red-tailed hawks, and let's not forget the turkey vultures. The deer population varies slightly from year to year in this area. In 1994, a one-hour helicopter survey was done of the deer population in the park, and 16 or 17 deer were found during this survey. It appeared that the deer realized there was no threat to them from the noisy helicopter. They weren't frightened by the presence of the helicopter or by its racket. During a recent survey, 36 deer were counted on the farm. The hiking and cross-country paths in this undeveloped part of the park are a great way to experience the serenity of nature without leaving your own community. The trails will take a half hour up to an hour, depending on the path you choose and your speed. Enjoy the walk and keep your eyes open. You may come upon a deer and other wildlife, such as groundhogs, wild turkey fox, and snapping turtles, as you wander through this untouched area. Enjoy this very special gift at your leisure. In the autumn, the beautiful colors will also be a draw, and winter will find cross-country skiers stitching the trails with their ski tracks. So, as you leave the back area of the park and enter the more developed areas, you will find scattered throughout the park amenities such as softball fields, volleyball courts, soccer fields, and horseshoe pits for use by the residents. Also, family-oriented events are held here throughout the year. A plant swap in the spring, along with sheep shearing in April, a family campout in the summer, and a harvest festival in the fall. And let's not forget farm camp and the Big Wheels event that are so loved by all the children in Waterford. This list is just a sampling of what you can do here at Hess Hathaway Farm. Plus, you can create your own event with campfires, hayrides, and more. Check out the Parks and Recreation web pages or the brochure that's mailed to all residents for details. As you exit the park, you will pass the 51st District Court Community Service Garden Project. The season for this garden runs from early April through mid-December. Activity commences by tilling the rows in preparation for planting. The blueprint of the garden is initiated with the help of the community service workers, and the crops typically include an assorted variety of tomatoes, cabbage, green beans, pepper, squash, and onions, with an herb garden and flower beds thrown in for good measure. At harvest time, starting in August, the crops are given to the Waterford Senior Center for their Meals on Wheels program, and also to the Baldwin Soup Kitchen and the Grace Center of Hope. Senior citizens are invited to pick a bag of veggies on specified days in August. Often a pumpkin patch is planted as well, making pumpkins available to children in the fall. Community service workers can be found turning the pumpkins regularly throughout the growing seasons. Starting in 2010, the Parks and Recreation Department will offer residents an opportunity to try their hand at gardening. A Waterford Community Garden is being established where residents can rent a 10-foot by 10-foot plot for the season from Parks and Recreation for personal use. The Hess Hathaway Farm is a very family-friendly park where many events are scheduled for kids of all ages throughout the spring, summer, and fall. Some of the more popular events include Big Wheels, a hands-on show of big and unusual vehicles, hay, hot dogs, and s'mores, which includes hay rides and cooking over a campfire. The annual sheep shearing includes a pancake breakfast, kite flying, and the Harvest Festival weekend that offers a barbecue dinner, a barn dance, a 5K run, and a 1 mile walk, along with a craft show and bake sale. In addition to all this, the Oakland County Hazardous Material Response Team uses the park once a year for training, and Mott and Kettering High Schools use the park as their home field for cross-country meets as well. So this is a well-used and well-loved facility for all ages and all interests. The farm offers something for every season, so stop by often to experience the gift that Myrtle Hess has given to the residents of Waterford Township. Thanks for visiting the Hess Hathaway Park, and thank you for downloading the Waterford Sound Waves audio tour to enhance your enjoyment of the park and all the amenities it offers. Be sure to check out the other audio tours available by visiting the Waterford Township website at www.twp.waterford.mi.us.